Welcome to the Cost Segregation Authority series, brought to you by My Cost Segregation. In this series, we walk through the real court cases and IRS rules that make cost segregation work. Today, we cover Revenue Ruling 8027, issued in 1980. This one is all about how to pick the right asset class when two classes seem to apply at the same time. Here is the question this ruling answers. Imagine a company owns shipping containers. Shipping containers are used to move cargo by water, so you might think they belong in the water transportation asset class. That class covers property used in water transport. But there is also a separate asset class just for shipping containers. It is asset class 00.27. That class is specific to shipping containers no matter who owns them or what industry they are in. Which class wins? Revenue Ruling 8127 says the specific class wins. When an asset is specifically listed in its own asset guideline class and that class says the asset is excluded from a broader activity class, the specific class controls. The general activity class does not get to pull that asset back in. Now, why does this matter for a cost segregation study? Here is the reason. When we do a study on your property, we assign every component to an asset class. That class determines the recovery period, which is how many years you spread the depreciation out over. A 5-year class means faster write-off. A 15-year class is slower. A 39-year building bucket is the slowest of all. Sometimes a component could plausibly fit two different classes. Maybe it is a piece of equipment that your business uses in a specific industry. There is a general class for that industry, but there is also a more specific class that targets that exact type of equipment. The question is, which one applies? Revenue Ruling 8027 gives us the answer. Look at Rev Proc 8756, which is the IRS table of asset classes and their recovery periods. If an asset is explicitly excluded from an activity class that exclusion controls, you use the more specific asset class. This is important because the more specific class often has a shorter recovery period. Shorter recovery period means faster depreciation. Faster depreciation means a bigger deduction sooner. For the people who prepare your cost segregation study, this ruling is a guardrail and a tool at the same time. It is a guardrail because it prevents over-aggressive classification. You cannot just shove an asset into the fastest class available. The specific exclusion rules have to be followed. But it is also a tool because, when the specific class does apply, it locks in the right answer. The IRS cannot later argue that the general class should have been used instead. This ruling works together with Revenue Ruling 77476, which we covered separately. That ruling says the taxpayer's primary business activity determines the activity class. This ruling says specific asset exclusions override the activity class. Together, they set up a hierarchy. First, look at whether the asset has its own specific class with an explicit exclusion from the activity class. If yes, that class wins. If no, then look at the taxpayer's primary business activity to pick the right activity class. The practical result is that your study reflects the correct class for each component, not the most convenient one. That accuracy is what makes a study defensible if the IRS ever takes a look. Revenue Ruling 8027 is a technical ruling, but it does real work in the background of every study we built. It helps make sure every asset ends up in the right bucket, with the right recovery period, producing the right deduction. Thanks for listening to the Cost Segregation Authority series. To see how the asset class hierarchy applies in your own report, check the authority library included in your study.